And camp isn't fun, but you know, the truth is about the people of God. Israelites camped for 40 years. We sometimes forget that. They were camping for 40 years. Can you imagine a 40-year camp? And the truth is that we're camping too. We're going to take a little departure from the book of Acts. We've been in the book of Acts about the last month and a half. We're going to take a little departure from the book of Acts to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's about camping. It's about living in tents. And it begins in chapter 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 verse 1. For we know that if the earthly tent, which is our house, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven, inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. For indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, but to be clothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. Now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. Therefore, being always of good courage, and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have as our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed or rewarded for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad. You know, Paul acknowledges that in this earthly life, in this earthly tent, we have troubles, we have problems, we have trials. We have the Zika virus and all the other host of other things. But by faith, because faith is the only way to live, we know that we have an eternal home that's unfading, a permanent place of security and peace. By faith, we know. By faith, we walk. By faith, we please God. Living by faith is the only way to live in this realm, in this tent. You know, because by faith, we know some things. We know something, he says in verse 1. We know that if our earthly tent, this house that we live in, is torn down, we have another place to live. If we lose this house, we have another place to live. A house not made by hands, eternal in the heavens. Well, do we know that? Or do we just hope that? You know, sometimes the weight and the problems of this world become so great, they overwhelm us. Well, Paul said that shouldn't happen to us. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says the momentary light affliction, the problems we're facing here, are producing something for us, an eternal weight of glory. He says, while we look not on the things that are seen, for they're only temporal. This world that we can see is only temporal, but the things that are unseen are eternal. We live in this earthly tent, and we know that if it is torn down, we have an eternal dwelling from God. The reality is, he says, we have this tent. And this word for tent is only used twice in the New Testament here. It's used in this passage, and it's used in Hebrews 11. He's talking about this temporary existence that we have on this planet. And for the reality is, our existence is temporary here. It isn't going to last very long. The psalmist says this. Shakespeare said it, and the book of Hebrews said it. The psalmist says, O Lord, what is man? Psalm 144. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him or acknowledge him? Or the son of man that you think about? A man's a mere breath. His mere breath, his days are like a passing shadow. And Shakespeare said in his great play, Macbeth, life's but a walking shadow. A poor player that struts and frets his hour upon the stage and then's heard no more. And in the book of Hebrews was the other place where this word is used for tents. It says of Abraham, he lived in the land of promise as an alien, like a refugee, dwelling in tents. Although he was the heir of the promise, he lived as an alien, a temporary existence. We know that if this house of ours is torn down, well, the truth of the matter is all of our tents are being torn down, whether by time, or by old age, or by disease. That is the fate of us in this realm. Our tents are being torn down. They're slowly decaying. Every year there's another hole in the wall or another leak in the roof. There's a few less hairs on top of the head. That's one of the things I've noticed in the last 6 decade of my life. You know, I look in the drain and there's a few more bits of me being washed away. If this tent is torn down, we have a building. You see, by faith we know we have a building, a place to dwell. We have a building not made with hands. We have another more permanent home. Paul shifts here from tent to house, doesn't he? Who would want to live in a tent the rest of their lives? No, we would all prefer to live in a house, something permanent. That kind of a knowledge gets us through the daily troubles we go through, knowing that there's something better, more permanent, more stable. The world presents to us all kinds of problems, things that burden our hearts. He talks about groaning in verse 2. But Jesus said to his disciples, just before he was crucified, along the same line, don't let your heart be troubled. And that's a challenge today. I mean, just think of all the pregnant ladies in Florida right now. Think about them. Where would they find peace of mind as they go through their pregnancy? They could find it in John chapter 14, verse 1, in this passage from 2 Corinthians. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. Jesus said, in my Father's house there are many dwelling places. I go to prepare a place for you. This longing, in mankind, it's a longing in all cultures. Among the ancient Aborigines, they thought heaven was an island to the west. They longed for that island after death, that to go to that island in the western horizon. The Finnish people thought that the afterlife was a distant island in the east, the other direction. This longing, this hope, this desire is in throughout human culture. The Mexicans, the Peruvians, the Polynesians, the North American, Native Americans, the Indians of this country. They all were looking, hoping for something after death. The ancient Babylonians, the Romans. The Romans believed in the Elysian fields, you know, the places that were beautiful, like a beautiful park. We as Christians don't only long for that heavenly home, we know we have a heavenly home. By faith we know. By faith we know. Eternal, a home eternal in the heavens. But here we groan. And there are lots of things that make us groan here. I mentioned Zika. There's so many other. There's the terrorist attacks. There's unemployment. There's taxes. There's corruption in government. There's physical and bodily pains. We are sharing creation's experience. Romans 8 says, the whole creation groans. This world is not the way God intended it to be. Sin came in and damaged and ruined a lot of good things. In this world, in this house, we groan. We long to be clothed with that dwelling from heaven that never changes, is immortal. We don't want to be naked. We don't like the feeling of being naked because when we're naked, we're vulnerable. How can we not feel naked? How can we not feel vulnerable? Well, by faith. Faith is the only way to live in this world. It's the necessary way to live in this world because in this world you shall have tribulation, Paul said. In this world, Jesus said the same thing, you shall have tribulation. We long for that immortal body, that imperishable body. As Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 15, he says it is sown a mortal body, but it is raised an immortal body. This world is not our home. People are always trying to make this earth heaven. It isn't heaven. We should stop that project. It's a fruitless project. No matter how beautiful the house is, it's still going to go down into decay. No matter how many exercises we do, we're still going to get older. No matter how many vitamins we take, we can't stop the decay of this world. It's coming. It's inevitable. And we don't like nakedness. We didn't like nakedness in our parents. When Adam and Eve sinned, the first thing they recognized, they were naked. They didn't measure up. Lots of things in this world don't measure up. We fall short in many ways. All our righteousness, Isaiah says, is as filthy rags. All our righteousness. Paul says we groan, and he knew about groaning. He knew about being burdened, as he said in verse 4. He repeats it. We groan, he says again, we're being burdened. Well, what were Paul's burdens in this earth? The list is long in 2 Corinthians 11. 3 times beaten with rods. 5 times he received from the Jews the 39 lashes. 3 times he was shipwrecked. In dangers from robbers, and dangers in rivers, dangers from countrymen, dangers from Gentiles. You see, we have this expectation sometimes that our lives should be perfect, should be comfortable. The temperature should always be set at the right 72 degrees. We should always have a nice cool drink waiting for us when we get home. Kick back, put our feet up, and watch our favorite TV. That's not the way this world is. This world is a troubled place. And if we have an expectation that it should be heaven, we're going to be disappointed. It's not heaven. It cannot be heaven. It's a temporary existence. Temporary existence. Well, that's the way the world is right here. We're burdened. We don't want to be unclothed, but we want to be clothed, Paul says. We want our mortal lives to put on immortality. We want the fulfillment of our desire to live forever. People want to keep on living. But we want to live in a peaceful place, a place where there's joy. Pain points us in the direction of looking for relief. You know, pain drives us to the dentist, doesn't it? Pain drives us to the doctors. The function of pain, oftentimes, is to drive us for an answer. Some people say, why does God allow so much pain in the world? Well, maybe sometimes, for some people, that's the only way they will seek God. It's the only way they'll go looking for an answer. C.S. Lewis says, God whispers to us in our pleasures. We see a beautiful sunset, and people say, well, maybe there is a God. The creation looks so beautiful. God whispers to us in our pleasures, but he shouts at us in our pains. What is God shouting to us in our pain in this imperfect world that we're living in? You're at camp. You're not home. You're at camp. Don't expect the world to be perfect. You'll save yourself a lot of disappointment. It can't be perfect. It's been damaged by sin. It's been damaged by rebellion. Pain keeps us from becoming comfortable here. We should never get too comfortable here. We're not going to be staying very long. I think that's part of the reason why God doesn't answer a lot of prayers. Because we're trying to make this world what it is not. It's not heaven. Paul says, we are longing for a better world. And yet we know God hasn't abandoned us here. Do we know this by faith this morning? Do we understand the true nature of our existence here? That no matter how good we try to make the world, we're never going to be able to make it really heaven. And that means we have to be willing to accept some of disappointment, some of the pains of earth, because it's only a temporary place. By faith we know and we have confidence that our future is secure. Not this world. This world is not secure, but our future is secure. By faith we walk. By faith we walk. Now, verse 5, now he who prepared us for this very purpose is God himself. Did you ever think that God has a plan that he's working out in your life? We have our plans. We have our one-year plans and our five-year plans, and we have our retirement plans, and we have our plans for the future. Paul says here, God is preparing us for this very purpose. Well, what very purpose? Well, it's the end of verse 4. That our mortal lives would be swallowed up by life, by eternal life, that we would experience life as God experiences it. Immortal, undying, never sick, never pained, never disappointed. God is preparing us for eternity. God has his own purposes that he's working out in us. You know, the Bible says a lot about God working on us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, we are God's workmanship, which means God is working on us. Philippians 2, 13, it is God who is at work in you, both the will and to work for his good pleasure. Sometimes I don't like the fact that God's working on me. Gets out the hammer and the file, you know. You ever feel like God's been working on you? What is God preparing us for? Sometimes people say, what are we going to do in heaven all day? I don't know how to play the harp. I don't like singing that much. Well, 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 12 says, if we endure, we will reign with him. Part of what we'll be doing in living forever is reigning with Christ. That means making decisions. Means managing things, doesn't it? 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul says, don't you know that you will judge angels? God's creation is a big place. And there's lots to do. And God is preparing us for a role in that creation. It's bigger than any of us know. Do you know what happened last Saturday? July 20th there? About July 20th, according to the National Geographic News Service, they turned on the Meerkat telescope array in South Africa. 16 of these great radio telescopes. And they pointed them at the heavens. They pointed about a 1/100th space of the heavens, looking at one little tiny dot of the sky, the night sky. 16 of these. The goal is to have 64 of these big telescopes linked together. But now they only have 16. It's 25% complete. You know what they saw? They looked at a part of the sky where they could only normally, with other telescopes, see 70 galaxies. When they turned on this system and looked, they saw 1,300 new galaxies. That's not 1,300 new stars. That's 1,300 new galaxies. Our Milky Way galaxy has anywhere from 100 billion to 400 billion stars in it. And this new Meerkat system, it saw 1,300 new galaxies. That's 100 billion, that's 1,300 times 100 billion on the low end, new stars. When this thing is finished, they expect to see over 10,000 new galaxies. Now just pause and think about that for a moment. That's 10,000 times 100 billion new stars. And we didn't even know they were there. That's 1/100th, a percentage of 1/100th of the sky. God's universe is very big. It's bigger and it keeps getting bigger all the time. God started us out here on earth. It's kind of like kindergarten. A, B, C, D, E. He's preparing us. We're being prepared here for something bigger than any of us can imagine. God said this a long time ago in the book of Genesis chapter 15 when he took Abraham outside of his own tent. Abraham, Genesis 15, 5. And the Lord took Abraham outside of his tent and said, look at the heavens and count the stars if you can count them. And of course, no man can count the stars. Even with our supercomputers, we can't count the stars. And God said to him, Abraham, so shall your descendants be. We're going through trials here. We're going through difficult times here. We're learning how to walk by faith here. Why? Because God has something bigger for each and every one of us. We're being prepared for jobs in eternity. And he gave us the Spirit as a down payment. To prove this is true, he gave us the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as a down payment. Now this word for down payment, it's the word arabon. It literally means the first payment, first installment that you lay down when you're going to purchase something. My first car payment when I bought my Ford Escape, I had a first payment that I paid that month. Then I followed that with other payments. It's a down payment. In modern Greek, the word arabon is engagement ring, if it helps to think of it that way. God gave us the engagement ring of his Spirit to make us know that this is what I've got in store for you. I have something greater in store for you. He prepared us for this purpose, and he gave us his Spirit as a pledge. And the Holy Spirit is now working within us and working in our world through us. And we're just seeing the first glimmerings of what this is going to be. Life in the Spirit, as we experience it now, is merely a foretaste of incredible things to come. And we experience the working of the Holy Spirit in us by being led today and guided day by day and empowered by him day by day. We've barely scratched the surface. Barely scratched the surface. What does life in the Holy Spirit look like right here in this tent city that we live in? Well, think about Dave Phillips and his wife Lynn. They felt a calling, a pulling on their heartstrings to help children in the world. God put a burden on their heart. The Holy Spirit was burdening their hearts. We've got to do something about these kids that are suffering. We want to share the gospel with them. So back in 1992, out of their garage, they set up a thing called the Children's Hunger Fund. The Children's Hunger Fund. And what they would do is they would gather donations in their garage, and then they'd ship them off to where there was need around the world. Now, I ask you, what good is that going to do? But when the Holy Spirit is working through us, you never know where God's going to take you with that. Just 6 weeks after they started that program, Dave got a call on the phone. The director of a cancer treatment center in Honduras, Central America. He said, could you possibly help me find a specific cancer drug? There are 7 children at our center that will die without it. Dave said, I wrote down the name of the drug, and I told the director I had absolutely no idea how I could possibly get this drug for him. On the phone, they prayed, and then he went to hang the phone up. Dave said, before I even put the phone back on hook, it rang. I said, hello? It was a pharmaceutical company in New Jersey. They asked Dave if he had any use for 48,000 vials of that exact drug. Not only did they offer him $8 million worth of this drug free, they said, we will airlift it for you anywhere in the world. Within 48 hours, Dave had that drug sent to Honduras and 20 other locations. That convinced Dave and Lynn that they were doing what God had called them to do. To date, they've given away over $1 billion in food and medical help. That's just one couple working with the Holy Spirit. What could God do with a whole church full of people? God has got big plans. He's got bigger plans than we do. God, who prepared us for this very purpose, gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. That's why we're walking with the Holy Spirit in this realm and being guided by him and being directed by him. He's trying to get us ready for the next thing. He gives us courage. Therefore, because we have the Spirit, we have courage. Verse 6. See how these things all fit together? We start walking by faith. We start living by faith. And pretty soon, God begins to do things. And that gives us encouragement, the fact that the Spirit is in us, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Again, when you're living in a tent, a lot of times you want to see. You're saying, why is things all messed up here, God? Why don't you answer this right now, God? And God says, because you walk by faith and not by sight. You're walking by faith, not by sight. God lets us be in the dark sometimes. He doesn't answer right away. That's part of the training. Part of the training. Jill Briscoe was going through a difficult time in her life. She said, I went down to sit by a little lake. I was angry at God because he wasn't answering my prayers. And I sat by the lake and I pleaded with God, God, I can't see you working. Why don't you answer? What about all these prayers that people are praying for me and with me? This is a terrible situation. God, why don't you do something about it? She said, in that quiet moment there by the side of the lake, God spoke to me and said, are there any fish in that lake, Jill? She said, I looked out over the lake. It was as smooth as glass, you know, like in the morning. She said, sure, of course there are fish there. And God said, how do you know? Do you have to see a fish jump to believe that there are fish in the lake, Jill? Do we have to see God jump every time to prove himself to us that he's answering our prayers, that he's working? Do we have to see a fish jump? Or can we just walk by faith and not by sight? She said, finally, in surrendering to God, she said, if I never see a fish jump, I'll still believe that they're there. Hasn't he already done enough for us? What else can he do? We walk by faith, not sight. That means sometimes we're going to go through a situation and we're not going to have the answer. But by that very act, we are showing we're trusting him. We don't trust the sign. We trust the sign maker. We don't trust the answer. We trust the one who answers. We trust the relationship that we have with him because he's faithful. Sometimes we just find it hard to trust God because we want to see. Well, I want to see. That's not the way the Christian life is lived. We walk by faith. And we are of good courage, Paul says. By faith we please God. We make it our ambition, it says in verse 9, to please him. By faith we please God. Why? Because it pays off. How do we know it pays off? We know by faith. Why waste your time coming to church, reading the Bible, praying, when you could be out shooting golf this morning, reading the New York Times or whatever newspaper you read, kicking back, sleeping in? Why try to please God? Because there's a payoff. Because there's a payoff. When we please God and honor God, there will be a payoff. Jesus said, think about it. Store up your treasure in heaven. Don't store it up down here. This is a camp. These tents are going to be torn down. None of this is going to last. Whether we are at home or with God, or whether we're here absent from God, we make it our ambition, our goal, our focus to please him. Paul says, present your bodies, Romans 12:1. Present your bodies as a living sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Present yourselves to God. Say, God, use me. We want to be pleasing to him. Why do we want to be pleasing to him? Well, because of verse 10. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. There is a coming and accounting of life on this earth. The Bible says that there are books. Revelation chapter 20. And I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne of God, and the books were opened. We worry about the NSA. We worry about the government, listen to our emails, look at our Twitter accounts. Let me tell you, God has a more complete record. He not only knows what we tweet, he knows every thought we thought. I saw the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged from the things which were written in the book of life, according to their deeds. I don't see any exclusions in this verse. Now, we're not talking about getting into heaven. We only get into heaven through the blood of the cross, by faith in Christ. But we are talking about rewards here, too. And the dead were judged. And they will be recompensed. That means rewarded or paid back for the deeds done in the body. Why live by faith? Because it pleases God. And when we please God, that means there's a reward coming. We make Him a priority, that means there's a reward coming. So that each one will be recompensed. For the Ephesians chapter 6, verse Paul says that whatever good thing each one does, he will receive back from the Lord. You never made a contribution to the offering. You never prayed a prayer for a sick friend. You never helped an old lady over across the street that God didn't write it down and record it. And God is no man's debtor. We are in this realm to sow seeds, to do our works here in this realm. And the payoff is coming. Is God pleased with us? Someday we will all know if He is or not. Shouldn't we ask that question now, why we have something to do about it? How much better to find out whether God is pleased with you now than then? Do we really believe that we will face the judgment day? Some people don't. Some people get so upset at the wickedness in the world and the people who are not convicted for their crimes. Just be patient. My Bible says everybody's going to be there. And everybody's going to be judged. Christians and the unsaved as well. For Christians, it's a judgment to our rewards. For the unsaved, it's a judgment to everlasting punishment. By faith is the only way to live. By faith, we know that our future is certain. By faith, we can walk through this life, even when we don't see the answers to prayer. By faith, we please God, because it means we take Him seriously. Why should we live by faith? Why should we make this choice to trust God, trust in this invisible God that we can't see now in this world? Because when we do, something great happens on the earth. Remember, He's the invisible God, but He becomes visible in His people when they trust Him. When people like us, like you and me, walk by faith, people see God in us. They see God working through us. They say, you just lost your job and you're not falling apart at the seams. How do you do that? It's Jesus. I trust Jesus. Your child is sick and you're not falling apart. How do you do that? Where do you find the strength? I find the strength from Him. The invisible God becomes visible as we walk by faith. Every time a Christian trusts God, the invisible God becomes visible to somebody else. And that's why we're here. In the wintertime, when the wind blows across the field, you can't see the wind. But if the wind hits the snowbank just a certain way and it picks up all those individual particles of snow and whips them up into the sky, then you see this invisible river of light just sort of swirling around. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing with you and me. We're just little flakes of snow. But when we work with Him, the invisible God becomes visible. I think people need to see that God's with them. And they need to see that in us. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that you allow us to participate in what you're doing in this earth. Lord, we're camping. We're not going to be here that long. We're going to strike the tents and we're going to be gone. We're going to be headed home. But while we're here in the camp, Lord, while we're cooking hot dogs over the fire, help us to live by faith. Help us to trust you when the answers don't come. Help us to trust you when trials and troubles come. Help us to know, Lord, you're with us. Help us to walk when we can't see. Help us to please you. For we want a reward, Lord. We want to be rewarded in your presence. And we want people to see that Jesus is real. Bless your name, O Lord, we pray. Amen. Amen.